guys, welcome back to Unapologetically Myself. We're your hosts, Amanda Carluccio and Steve Vitterados. Thanks for coming back. We have a really exciting episode today. Yeah. I'm super excited because we have a guest with us. But let me just tell you briefly what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about relationships, red flags, problems, fixes. If you're in a toxic cycle, we got you. We're going to go over all of that. So without further ado, let's get into it.
Yeah, let's
do it. Have a therapist. She's a certified life and relationship coach, founder of Be Kind to Your Mind Counseling New Jersey. She helps women and couples overcome toxic patterns and build healthy relationships, both in person and online. Please welcome Lauren Walsh.
Hi, guys.
Hey,
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming.
I'm so excited to be here.
Very excited.
Yes. So before we get started with the questions, because we have a lot of them.
Can't wait.
I just wanted to go over, what you do. Tell us about yourself, how you got into this field, and how long you've been doing it.
Yeah. I've been a therapist for over 10 years at this point, which is crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
But recently in the last, not even been 2 years, I opened up my own practice. So I went out on my own.
Nice. I love that.
Yeah. And I like refer to myself as a retired hot mess when it comes to dating,
because
I have experienced it all. And I wanted to just start my business to help other women and to help other couples just heal all the multitude of issues that they have. But I know that it's possible because I did all the work myself.
I love
it. I wanted to be able to help other women, other couples.
That's awesome.
Improve.
Yeah. I love that, because when I was looking at your website, you mentioned a lot that it's really important to love yourself first.
Yes.
And so why is that so crucial?
Yeah. So when we don't do that, we are often putting our self-esteem in somebody else's hands.
Mm.
And we tend to seek out people and make them responsible for our happiness. And that person will end up dictating like how we feel about ourselves, what kind of day we have.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But when we do the work and we have a solid relationship with ourselves, we create a life for ourselves that we're generally happy with. We change like who we choose, and we start to pick people who are going to add to our life and make our life better, make our life easier. But we're not just like handing over our self-worth.
And yes.
It's dependent on somebody else.
Yeah.
So.
No, I really, because I was looking at your website and I love that you were like, I've been through it all, because right. And As a millennial, I finally found a good guy. This
Amazing.
Guy over here, Steve.
Yeah.
I'm 35 and I've been through it all. And I love that, like, as a therapist, because a lot of times I've been through therapy and I just felt like I couldn't connect with somebody.
Yes.
Because I'm like, this person doesn't know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Like, regarding social media now.
Yes.
With, like, and we'll get it more
we'll
into that.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing for all the single people out there, do you have something that they should work on now before getting into a serious relationship? Like, what's one thing that they should work on?
And it's definitely the relationship with themselves. And this is like the most cliche quote I know, but the longest and most important relationship you're ever going to have is the one with you.
Yeah, no,
and there's just
true.
So much truth to it.
It is.
Because if we're not in a good place, it's really hard to show up for anybody else or to be a good partner. Like it's not going to be good.
Yeah.
So definitely the relationship with themselves and like their daily life. Like, we need to be generally happy. Can't be happy 24/7. Everything can't be perfect, but you want to be generally happy with your daily life, what you're doing, how you're spending your day, who you're with, who's around
you. Yeah, totally.
If that's off,
then
you're not.
And you also attract, like, you attract that.
Yes. When you're in good energy, more good comes. It never comes when we're like down and out and miserable.
Not at
and,
all.
Like, I hate everything.
Exactly.
And why can't someone, I can't find anybody. It never comes.
Yeah. And I know I hate this saying, because everyone's like, oh, you'll find him when you least
expect. It's the worst. I know.
I know. But honestly, I really did find him when I didn't want to go out, but I was having fun with my friends and I didn't care. I was like, I don't want to date anymore. I don't want to, like, even go on one more date. I was so done.
Yes.
I told my mom,
dating,
like,
burnout is real.
Yeah. The night before, I was like, I am not meeting anyone. I'm going to die alone. I don't care. And then I met this one and I was like, well,
see?
Yeah.
I just have a follow-up question for that, because I know a lot of people, and I'm sure we know a lot of people that were in long-term relationships, and then maybe they find somebody 2 weeks later, 2 months later, 3 months later, and they really didn't give them, you know, that time to actually sit there and work on themselves, right? Do you have like a suggestion or a recommendation as far as like how long you should give before, you know, you're jumping into a new relationship, or is that?
Yeah, there's no like marker, but I really strongly believe that there needs to be a substantial amount of time in between each person that you date, especially if you've ended something long term.
Oh, I like that. Because
you haven't healed. You haven't processed anything. You're just really uncomfortable because you're now alone and you just want to find someone else to distract you. And you're just trying to heal with another person.
Right.
And you're not healing. You're just distracting yourself. So like the grief from that relationship is just on pause. And you're just, you know, going along with somebody new, but you're not working through anything.
Yeah. So how long do you think it takes to heal, or does it depend?
It depends. And there's no such thing as fully healed. Like always healing is a journey and we're always doing it. I would say definitely take like a couple months at least in between each person for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
And the longer the relationship, the longer you're going to need.
Oh, yeah.
Because you want to reflect on like what happened. Like, where did things go south? Why did this fall apart? Like, how was I behaving?
Oh, yeah,
like,
totally.
We skip all that. You're just going to be the same person with the next.
Well, not to put our relationship on blast or out there.
No,
like
it's
that,
okay.
Right?
Put it on blast.
Well, I think it's important because you had your guard up for a long time.
Oh my God, yeah. Well, my past ex has cheated on me. Mm-hmm. I was just in that toxic pattern.
No matter how much we got along, had a great time, she just always felt like she had one foot in and one foot out.
Yeah, I was always like, it's not going to work. And I hate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For him, that sucks for you. That like I put you through that.
Right. So you really didn't, you know, how long would it take for somebody to really, you know, I'm not going to bring my past relationship into this relationship. Right. That's something that, you typically did at that time. Right. You were like, this is not going to work out. I'm just going to push you away. Even though we had no issues, no problems, nothing at all. Right. We had no issues, no problem. But you were just like, it's not going to work out.
Yeah. I always like had that mentality like, it's not a long-term thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that shouldn't be, because obviously I was dating to marry and I am, but it took me a while. It took me, I think, about a year
for you to be
okay,
I could be happy.
He's safe. Yeah, he's my safe. He's not going to cheat on me kind of thing.
And that was because you were trying to protect yourself.
Oh,
and that's, unfortunately, you learned that lesson. Mm-hmm. Like love, it hurts and I don't want to get there again. Yes. So what we do, if we don't heal our stuff, we tend to keep people over there. Because you can't hurt me as bad as if you're over there.
Oh, true.
If I let you in here, you crush me.
See, no, that's so true.
We do it. It's,
I like that you said that. Because that's definitely what I was doing to you. Like I was putting you away.
At arm's length.
Yeah. Where like I wasn't.
He can't hurt you that
giving
bad.
Giving you all of me because I was afraid I was going to get hurt.
Yeah. Right. It happens all the time. True.
Yeah.
So what do you recommend someone doing with that? Go to see a therapist?
For sure.
See Lauren Walsh. Yeah. If you're in New Jersey.
That's a big issue.
Yeah.
You know, no, I know someone who was in a relationship for 10 years. They were dating since college. They lived together for 2 years during COVID, got married, and then got divorced a year later.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. And now he's dating, but he's keeping his distance from the girls.
Yeah.
But he's also dating and having relationships because he's always thinking that the new relationship is going to end up like...
It's going to fail.
Yeah, it's going to fail. It's going to be like it was in my marriage. Doesn't matter who it is.
Right.
You know, after time, that just typically tends to happen.
Yeah.
So I tell him, you know, I met Amanda. I didn't think that I was going to meet somebody who was going to make me feel great and have a great time. And like, but he's like, nah, it's just... I can't.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't.
He's doing that, putting up a wall.
Putting up a wall. Yeah.
And then what happens if he doesn't heal that what's going on for him? He is going to protect himself and he probably won't ever experience a heartbreak like that again. But he also won't experience real love either. Like you also block your blessings.
Oh, that's true.
So like you will protect your heart and you won't have another heartbreak like that. But you also won't have genuine connection and love either.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah.
So I want to get into toxic relationships because Lord knows I've been through, would always pick the same people that would cheat on me.
Yes.
And I was just like, why am I picking this type of person?
Yeah.
So what advice can you give to someone right now, like a listener out there that is going through or someone that picks that toxic partner all the time? Mm-hmm. Is there something they're doing wrong? How can they redirect? How can they fix that?
Yeah. So first I would say if you're finding yourself in cycles that are unhealthy or bad in any way, take a break from dating. Stop. Yeah. If you're on the apps, delete your profile, pause them at the very least.
Yes.
And take a total break from dating, reset yourself. And I know, like, I'm biased, but like, get into therapy because
No, therapy's great.
Yeah, because like if you're in a cycle, it's happening for a reason. Like, it's coming from somewhere. Yes. Why we're attracted to a certain situation over and over again, or we're dating like the same person in a different body. Mm-hmm. We have to figure out like where that's coming from.
100%.
So you can heal that and then you make different choices. Exactly. As you, when you go back into the dating world, but pause, get into therapy.
Yeah. Well, especially with like the swiping, like I feel like you get into a swipe fatigue, right?
Yeah. It's the burnout in dating is so real. And then what happens is you're not even showing up on the dates your best self. Yeah. Like you're annoyed and you're miserable you're burnt out. And you're like, this is going to be just like the last one. Like, why am I even bothering? Like, he's a waste of me. He's going to be a waste of makeup. And these are the things that work.
You go into it like that, right? Yeah. And you go in with a closed mind and you're going through the motions, right?
Yeah.
I went on 3 dates.
This one was in a long-term relationship, got out of one.
And then went on the apps and went on 3 dates. And it's like, I had
and he
enough.
Was doing it, for 2 months. I was single for three years.
The swiping and then like, how many times can answer the same question? What do you do? That? And I'm like, oh, I'm going old school again. And then I just happened to meet her at the bar.
Yeah, I know. That's the best way.
And, well, that's what we were saying. Like, for people who have social media fatigue, like, what would you say were to meet someone?
Try to just, like, I think especially women, men and women, but especially women, mm-hmm. we are not as open and approachable as we think we are.
That's true. I think
we have to just be mindful of like how we are, like when we're out. Like, do we look like we're open? Are we on our phone?
Yes.
Like, just be
approachable.
Just more out there. Talk to like a stranger. Like, just be nice to people. Like, you just never know. We just need to be open more.
No, especially that's if you're, true. Especially if you're looking areas. For a relationship or something.
Yeah. You know, like if you keep going to the same local bar that you go to every weekend, like change it up.
Yeah, change it up.
Go to a different town.
Go half hour.
What about matchmakers?
Ooh. I've never worked with a matchmaker, but it always sounds interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess I would try it if I needed to. Not now, but I'm saying, if I needed to. Like, it got to the point where I was like, I don't care if it doesn't happen, if it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But if I was like, I really, really want someone right now, I would do it.
Yeah, why not? Try it's it, worth right? a shot.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to bring up like childhood and family upbringing. Like, in your experience, how much does childhood and family upbringing affect who we pick as our partners?
A lot.
Yeah.
I have a lot to say on this.
Okay, go ahead. Floor is yours.
A lot. Well, I mean, our parents are first teachers.
That's true.
Yeah. And they teach us directly and indirectly what love looks like. Mm-hmm. That can be really great. Right. That can be not so great.
Yeah.
So that for sure. And we also just, we have a tendency, and we're not conscious of this, we're all doing it and we're not really aware, but we tend to just seek out familiar experiences, familiar people that we've experienced in childhood in our adult life. Even if it's bad and we know it's bad and we have that awareness, because it's familiar, it kind of feels safe in a way. So we're drawn to that, but we also are trying to have a different outcome.
Okay.
Like, have the same experience, but with a better outcome. And we're not conscious of this, but that's what's happening. So like the clearest, like easy, I can give you like a quick, like easy example of that is like if someone grew up and let's say like the dad was in the house, but like not really emotionally available, not really present, you know, just kind of there, not really affectionate. It would be very common for that, for like a woman to seek out a man who is very similar, has similar characteristics, isn't really emotionally available, maybe doesn't give her much time, but she's hoping that she'll be able to prove her worth and that there'll be a different outcome and that person will give her what she needed. But we're not always conscious of this. Yeah. Most of the time we're not, but that.
Yeah. But it's a big thing.
Big thing.
I mean, I notice it too. Like my parents are all over social media and people are always like, your mom's so mean to your father. This isn't a good relationship. And I'm just like, I don't know if it's because like we're Italian, but I swear it's endearing. Like, to her, that's like, they're obsessed with each other. And I always wanted that like back and forth banter, because at the end of the day, they treat each other so great.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful to have that.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong. They're not perfect.
Nobody is.
But I do see how, because you're right. They are your teachers.
Uh-huh.
Like your first love.
They are.
Like you're, that's what you look
that's
at.
That's what you see.
And that's what I've always grew up saying. I want a relationship like that. Uh-huh. So I guess uh-huh. that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, for people who come from divorce, I'm sure it's hard.
Definitely. Oh. And it's honestly, it's not even just our parents' fault. Like we have all yeah. kinds of childhood experiences, yeah. trauma and wounds that happen that are still with us mm-hmm. present day. Like I'm sure you guys have heard the term like inner child healing.
Yes.
That's something yeah. that really everyone should do because like.
Have you heard of it?
What's that?
Inner no. child healing.
I never heard of that before.
Inner child healing. Yeah, no, it's a really big part of therapy. So we all have certain experiences that were like traumatic and childhood wounds yeah. and stuff that we've experienced. And when we don't work through that, our inner child is still with us today. Yeah. And that's who is showing up on yeah. dates. Your inner child is picking your friends. Like your inner child is right. dictating how you show up in the world and how you act at work. So
no,
if we
so
don't
true.
Heal those wounds.
You have to.
You have to.
I feel like every man should listen to that and heal their inner child, please.
And women. And women too. But yes, and women
no,
too.
No,
but
that's 100%. True.
100%.
Yeah. Right before you go on dates. No, because I know it took me a long time and I had this issue of this toxic pattern of dating the same yeah. guy that would cheat on uh-huh. me and treat me mm-hmm. like shit. And that's when I finally was like, I need to go to a therapist because something's going on with me that yeah. why do I keep picking that same person?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then he didn't do those things. And how weird was that?
Yeah. Right.
It's almost like.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. She was waiting for it.
Like, I was like.
There was a time when you were like, we don't fight. We should fight.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm tired. I don't want
to
fight.
I said to him, we need to yeah. fight more.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you saying?
Yeah.
I was like, this isn't normal. But yeah. to me, it wasn't
normal.
It wasn't getting you going.
Yeah.
It wasn't
the adrenaline. Turning me on.
No, the adrenaline.
Freaking weird.
The adrenaline yes. wasn't there for you. You thought it should be more up and down than mm-hmm. it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to follow up as far as how important it is for significant others or partners, boyfriend, girlfriends to get along with their parents before getting involved in marriage or mm-hmm. anything like that. How important is that?
I mean, I think if it's possible yeah. that it is just going to benefit everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for I don't sure. think it has to be like a deal breaker.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely going to be, there's going to be conflict right. obviously, yeah. but I'm not saying that it's like the right. relationship is doomed, but
right.
if they can merge, I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's the best.
Mm-hmm. What if one side wants to mend the relationship with their partner's parents? But the other side doesn't.
Ooh, that's rough.
How would you suggest going about that?
Not in my favor.
So it's going to be
yeah.
really like up to like you guys or whoever is like going through that. They're going to have to set the boundaries and do what they need to do for themselves because we can't control other people.
Right.
So like you can try and like, you know, set things up nicely oh, yeah. and encourage people to mend and whatnot. But if at the end of the day, they're not willing to, or one person right. is not willing to budge, you can't change that person.
Yeah.
So you are just going to have to do whatever you have to do to yeah. make it through.
Yeah, you can't control
somebody. Maybe it's
somebody.
Like, I'm going to have to listen. I'm going to have to limit my time with this person,
right.
or we're going to have to make a different kind of schedule. And it sucks.
Yeah, there's always so much yeah. you could do.
It's the control the controllables.
Yeah,
what we say
yeah.
a lot in therapy. Like figure out how to what you can control of the situation.
Yeah, because you can't control
that. You can't control yeah. another person.
Oh. So I want to get into like the early stage of relationships or when you first get married too. And in your experience, are there any red flags that seem little at first, but often lead to divorce or a breakup that you know of?
Yeah, I would say like what I see a lot is like unspoken expectations. So I think women are really bad at this.
Yeah.
We often feel like our partner should know what we mm-hmm. need, know what we want without having to ask for it.
Okay.
And without having to say anything about it.
I totally can see
that. So, yeah, and I've been there.
Yeah,
like,
yep.
And it feels amazing when someone does something that you don't ask for, but we really do have to ask for what we want. But a lot of women, I mean, people in general, but a lot of women do struggle with that. So what happens is they have these needs or they want their partner to be doing X, Y, and Z. They don't say anything. They're keeping it in and they're keeping it in and yeah. they're keeping holding it in. Yeah, and they're unhappy and they're unfulfilled and their needs aren't met. And then you just, you grow angry, you grow resentful.
Resentment is the worst.
And then there's like this big, you know, usually like a blowout or some kind of big conflict. And, you know, the other person didn't even know that you were unhappy.
Yeah, that's true.
Because we struggle to ask.
See, and that's the thing. And then going, I have another question about boundaries because I have always been terrible at this. Like if he says something, I'm like, oh, sure. Yeah, I'll do it. But like, I'm so bad at setting boundaries. Like what is one tip you can give someone that struggles with boundaries or a listener that's struggling with that right now that you can give for that?
Yeah, I would change the way you talk about boundaries. Ooh, like if you're talking about them, like there's something bad and like that you should feel guilty for and like, oh my God, I just feel bad. Like it's going to feel that way. You're going to feel like you're doing something wrong. It's not going to feel right. But boundaries are good things. Like we put we set boundaries because it's good for us. Maybe it's good for our mental health. It's something that we need. And also too, we set boundaries because we respect ourselves.
Yeah, 100%.
So just
like that.
Talking more about boundaries like that, like, this is good for me. Like, this is what I need and I'm listening to myself.
That's good because you like change the stigma. Yeah. Because like in my head, I'm like, oh, it's a bad thing. Like I'm telling him, I don't want this. Can you do this? And no, it should just be an open conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, of course.
Well, I know you were on a
you're on
a little bit of an outline here, but I think we had a conversation the two podcasts ago about how early in the dating process should you talk about what you want out of in life, right? I want kids, I want marriage.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And there was a lot of mixed reaction towards my answer. I said, you know, maybe go out, have a couple drinks, have a good time, see if you can actually get along with that person. Mm-hmm. Don't ask right away, do you want, how many kids do you want? Do you want this? Just get to know the person a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. And I said, I think you should ask on the first date.
So
we were like, so what is the right thing to do?
I know. And that's a tough one because I don't think it's a black and white answer.
Yeah.
But I think if it is kind of happening naturally, like I think it's totally okay to bring it up on day one, but just maybe not like you don't want to open with that. Like feel like it feels like,
that's
are you going to check my boxes? Like, do you want kids? Are you in this for the long term? Like then it just can feel like, whoa. But if you're just like chatting and it's like a, you know, a casual conversation, like I think that's totally okay to have on day one. You want to have it as soon as possible. Like we all should have like some non-negotiables that we like know that we need.
My point is that there could be a time where a guy or a girl, they didn't want something in the beginning because maybe they felt like they didn't find the right person, right? So maybe they didn't want kids with their ex because they didn't feel that that person gave them that feeling to want to have that kid, right? So maybe that's why I was saying, don't bring it up on the first day because all of a sudden he could say, no, I don't want kids, but then he gets to know you a little bit more and he's like, oh, I can see that side of my life with you, right? That was my
I see what you're saying, right? But
I think I would just ask, like, why don't you want kids? Yeah. And then hear the response. Like, if they're like, I just like my life and I don't want to take care of anyone and, you know, things like that. That's a pretty hard no, but maybe you'll learn that.
Yeah.
Well, I've just never been with anyone that I could even imagine having a
child
with. Right. And then it's like, all right, like, all right, maybe we can continue to get to know each other.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. So what's in your experience in therapy, what's like the most common problems you see in relationships? Like when people come to you?
I would say probably, and it's not more men or women, it can be like interchangeable, but I would say people not being fully happy with themselves and their life, not being in a good place, not having dealt with anything in the past, not having processed any kind of trauma or really truly dealt with anything. So because of that, they're like carrying all of that and they're not able to show up very well in the relationship.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
That's probably what I see most. I see that like almost every single
Really? So you really, it's so true, but it's you have to love yourself before
you really can. And it, not that you have to be the most confident person in the world, but like you have to have kind of self-love.
Yeah.
Right.
And be like, you know, in generally a good place because.
No, that's so true.
Yeah, that's probably what I see the most.
Because I remember when I was like at my lowest and like I couldn't think of anything else but like just I was just like in a sad bubble.
Yeah.
And you really, it's real. It is. Yeah. And then you don't attract the right people. Yeah. You attract toxicity. Mm-hmm. I can't even say that. Am I saying it right?
You're right. That's it. You're good.
But I would attract these relationships, not the ones I wanted, but I was just in a low place myself. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't give like 100% of myself to somebody.
Yeah. And men sense that. Like, they'll sense that. Oh, she'll take anything.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, yep. That's really what happened.
And then I would say, like, if you wanted like a top two, probably women. I see this mostly.
Okay.
Not feeling like emotionally safe to talk about what they need, like their thoughts and feelings.
I can see that.
So just like, you know, or feeling like it just falls on like deaf ears, things like that. Yeah. And then just like growing resentment and stuff.
Right. No, definitely. Okay. We talked about boundaries. Let's get into compatibility and long-term questions. So how can you tell if you're generally in love with someone or just in love with the idea?
Yeah. I love this question.
We know a lot of people who are like, oh my God.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So
I have a lot of
friends and family. They'll go on one date and they'll be like, he's the one, I'm in love with him. Yeah. I'm going to marry him.
I felt it.
And I'm like,
yeah, I felt it.
And I just was
our
never.
Our signs are compatible. Yeah. That's it.
The signs. It was all there. Yeah. But I was never like this because I would go on a date and be like, just because I think of all the cheating that has happened.
That way this is going to work out. Yeah.
So what do you say?
Like, how do you know if it's real love or not?
How do you know if it's...
Yeah, are you just going through a cycle again?
100% time.
Okay.
You do not... Yeah. You cannot love someone in a week, 2 weeks, 2 months, 3 months.
No.
Exactly. There's no marker. I can't tell you. Like, at the 6 months mark, like... At the 6 month mark that there's, you know, that's when you can love someone. But in the very beginning, you don't.
No.
It takes time to really know someone like to their core.
100%.
What you do feel is like you love the idea of what this could be.
Right.
There's fantasy thinking. You love how you feel. You love how this person desires you or you love what you're doing. Yeah. And like, that's all fine. But you don't truly love that person.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I just also
guys, please listen to this. When you're on that date. He's not the one yet. Nah,
there's no helping these people.
He's not the one. And I just want to add, please listen to this too. Love doesn't hurt.
Oh,
love is not supposed to hurt.
I love that.
So when you are with somebody,
I just got the chills.
I know. Yeah. I know.
No, that's so true.
When you're
say it louder.
Experiencing like pain all the time, that's not love.
Oh my God.
It's not happy 24/7 bliss. Like relationships are hard.
Right.
They're work. There's rough times. But love is not supposed to be painful.
Oh my God, that's so true.
No. That like love doesn't hurt.
Look at this. Goosebumps, guys. No,
love
because that's
hurt.
So true. I love that.
Yeah.
No, because it's so true. Because I was in so, like, I dated someone for 7 years and it destroyed me.
Yeah.
Like, it was, and I remember my mom saying to me, like, love is not supposed to be this hard.
No, no.
And then, like, in my head, I was like, but you're supposed to fight for it. Like,
those are
and so, like, what do you say? That's what I was going to say. What do you say to, like, family? And, like, I have a lot of single friends, family. I don't want to mention
shout
any
anybody
names. I had to be careful what I said there. So I have a lot of single family friends friends. And they say to me, but, you know, I got to fight for him. He's the one. I got to fight. Like, what would you say to them in that scenario?
I would tell them that they should go to therapy.
Okay.
Because and they feel that for a reason.
Yeah.
They were taught that. Mm-hmm. We're taught all kinds of things. Like, good things come to those who wait.
Oh.
Like those little stupid sayings. Like they're in our brain.
Yeah, right. I can change them.
Yeah.
it all starts when we're young and a boy's mean to us at the playground.
Yes.
And mom's like, it's because he likes you.
Yes.
Like, no.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yes.
It's so true.
But it's exactly that.
They always tell us. That's what they tell us.
Yeah, they do.
It's terrible.
You always got a crush on
you. Yeah, now we're all fucked up.
We're all messed up. Yes.
But yeah, no, I love what you said there because that's so true.
It's true.
And then it goes to the thing. Is there such a thing as the one or is that just a myth? Like, could I find the one in California?
So... it's kind of like a myth, like because the one implies that there's like this needle in a haystack kind of person that you're trying to find. But that's that's not really what it's about. Like when you meet someone and it's going well and you want to build a life together and you're falling in love and everything, you choose each other. Like love is yes. more of a choice than mm-hmm. a feeling. A lot of people think it's like just a feeling. So like you find someone that you're going to choose and that they're going to hopefully choose you back. Yes. Like, cause you're not always going to feel like showing up for that person mm-hmm. or doing X, Y, and Z or like having the discussion, but you're going to make choices because you love that person and mm-hmm. hopefully they're doing it in return to you. But it's more about like finding the one who's willing to choose you back like make it work that. With, you know what I
totally.
Mean?
Totally.
Rather yeah. than this like fairy tale needle in a yeah. haystack person mm-hmm. that
don't tell Gary and Loretta that.
Oh, don't tell them. My mom met my dad and she said yeah. in a nanosecond she knew he was going to marry him.
Yeah.
I'm that's like, why nothing is black and white.
They met in high school. They knew yeah. each other when they were 14 years old.
And right. And that, wow. and I would never take that away from someone yeah. because oh, that not, is no. like people yeah. do find their oh, yeah. person in childhood.
She will look you right in the face and be like, it was a nanosecond. I'm like, mom, come on.
He comes over the house, the apartment yeah. and Loretta calls, her mom calls yeah. and goes, when is he coming home? I miss him.
Oh, how yeah. many they're years obsessed. Later? They're obsessed with each other. Yes. But it's cute. Aww. It's cute.
But they choose each other.
Yeah, that's yeah. true.
They didn't know in that nano. I mean, maybe, look, there's maybe, things. Yeah.
No,
that,
I look, I agree.
Nothing
with
is
you.
Black or white, but they have chosen each other yes. for all of these years. That's mm-hmm. why they work.
I love that. Mm-hmm. No, but I agree with you with that. Like, you choose your partner and then you choose to make it work.
Yeah.
Like, and it's tough. Like, relationships are hard. Marriage Absolutely. Is not easy.
Absolutely.
You have to continue. To make it work with
right.
each
other. Like it shouldn't be like an everyday, right. like this is a battle.
It's not a struggle.
But like you're going to make choices just because you love that person right. sometimes yeah. and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So like when you're choosing each other, that's what I think that's what the one is.
No, not I this totally needle I in the agree haystack. With you. Yeah, like, I'm always, and that's why I always was the one, like I hate that. Like, because people would ask, oh, is he the one? And I'm like,
what makes you feel hopeless?
Yeah, I'm like, right. what? I'm like, I love him and I see a future with him. Like, stop. But right. I guess yeah, also yeah. that's like my wall. I'm like, stop
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah,
don't
yeah.
talk about that.
Yeah.
But that is true. Like, mm. you choose your partner and then you choose to make it work.
But you feel, mm. I know because I feel at peace.
I do too. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's big.
I'm yeah.
And I never had peace. I was always right. like,
anxious.
Who's he texting? Like, I remember when we first started dating. He was texting this girl, Christy. And I'm like, who's Christy? And I didn't say anything yeah, to yeah. you at first. Yeah. Wait, it gets funny. And then we're in the car and like Christy pops up. You know, I can see because it's connected. And I'm like, who's Christy? He's like, it's my sister. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. But I'm so but used to that because yep. all my exes, like girls would be texting them 24/7. Yeah. I couldn't yeah. trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and Christy.
Yeah, you should feel calm. Yeah, I do. Yeah, that. Yeah. You feel peace.
Yeah,
if your nervous peace. System is like a wreck all the time, that's not the one.
And,
that's not the one.
Yeah. yeah. No, 100%. And that's why it took me a long time to feel like this was the right relationship mm-hmm. because I felt at peace and mm-hmm. I didn't feel the highs and lows of, mm-hmm. oh my God, we're yelling and screaming and oh my God, I'm crying. Like it was just, why am I not crying?
yeah.
Why are we calm? Why are we yeah. not fighting? Like it didn't feel normal to me.
But you were doing the work, right?
I had a therapist at the time.
So that's why
and
you
I
were
actually
able
got
to
demoted.
Get past it.
My therapist was like, we went through our goals. I didn't know you guys did this.
Yeah.
I, I told Steve, I'm like, she was like, my therapist told me I was happy and we finished all our goals. I was talking to her for about a year.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, if you feel comfortable, you don't have to come back. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know that was like a thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's personal preference.
Right,
like
right.
some people just always want to be in therapy and
no,
that's
and
fine.
I totally get that.
And other people want
but
like,
I was
to
like,
just,
right,
you know,
right, right.
heal the stuff and be done.
Right. Yeah. No, I felt good about it. Yeah. And I was like, if I ever needed someone again, I always have your number. But
yeah, exactly.
It made me feel good. Like I accomplished something.
Yeah, but that's why you guys now yeah. work. But if you never yeah. did any of that
oh, no, I'd
work,
still be like
you would have left him because he wasn't giving you the same
yeah.
feeling.
Right.
That's how people reject healthy
but I
love.
Exactly. But I realized I needed to talk to someone after we had gone on a trip
mm-hmm.
and I was still like, why am I guessing. Hesitant?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And but I did the work.
You did the work.
What do you say to somebody who is in a relationship, they're happy in their relationship, but their friends don't like that person, or maybe they think it's not good, or maybe
yeah.
it,
that's
maybe because they see that they're not always getting along, they're fighting, she's maybe complaining, he's complaining, and mm-hmm. it's like maybe that's not the one, you know. should the friends be supportive and just back off, or should that person take the advice and go along with it?
I mean, I do think it's a big red flag if all of your friends think there's something wrong with your relationship or like they hate your person. I really do think that's something to look at.
They're not just haters.
I really don't think so. I really think that that means something. But also, like, the person, like, you're talking about, is that person really happy, though? Like, or are they just saying, like, yeah, I'm happy, but they don't really believe it inside? Yeah. Like, if they're truly happy inside, that's their choice. And let them, you know, make their choices and live their life. But I think a lot of people might just be content or feel like maybe I can't do any better, or I don't feel like, you know, starting over. So, like, I'll just, this is the best I'm going to get. But they're probably not really happy.
I think it's important to have a support system, right? So if something's going wrong in the relationship and I just have that one person I could talk to, right? Amanda, she talks to her mom about literally everything.
Yeah. And I'm the only child, though, too. Yeah. So
I get it. They're best friends. I get it. But how much of the relationship should you keep to yourself?
Oh, this is a good question.
And also give out to...
Yeah, because you don't want, like, for instance, my mom to have an opinion of him. I don't know. Yeah.
Like, we get into an argument, and then she goes and tells her mom, and then now her mom turns around and say, oh, they argue all the time, when it was just, like, a one-time thing.
I think you have to look at how much it's impacting you guys as a couple.
Exactly.
Like, you would have to look at that. Because, like, you don't want to be stripped of your support system.
Right, exactly. But I want her to have that, but I also don't want... all our information.
I need that shirt that's like, what is it? It's like, I'm going to tell my mom. It's like, I literally tell my mom everything. Yeah. But it's also not good, and I've been good with it. Yeah. I've been working on it. Like, just little here fights there and there. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to tell her or whatever.
Yeah.
And she doesn't need to know. But it's like, I did tell her everything, like, in the past relationships, and I've realized, like, well, it's not always good to do.
Because now they might have a perception of the relationship that really isn't there. They're seeing one side of the story. They don't know what's going on.
That's not true.
Right?
So in your experience, like, how much does social media impact relationships today? Because, you know, like, the swiping and all that. And I have a lot of friends that tell me, I'm just done with, like, going online.
I know. It's just, I think it has a big impact, a big negative impact.
Unfortunately.
I think, like, for me personally and my own social media issues, like, back in the day, and then certainly I still see with clients too, I think the biggest thing is, like, your ex isn't your ex anymore. Like, they're not in the past. They're a click away. You can just have access to what they're doing and who they're with. And then, oh, let me check her out. And now you're on a rabbit hole. Yeah. And, like, now you know her friends. And it's like, oh, they're at this restaurant. Go to the restaurant page.
And the next thing you know, you're on your ex's grandma's dog's friend's mother's sister's wife's Instagram.
So it just keeps people that really should be in the past, like, a very much part of your current day. And so I think that that's a
do you
big...
recommend blocking?
I do.
That's the only way that you can move on.
Especially
get over
if it was
someone,
like,
but
bad.
That's how I felt.
But I don't think you should. It's too, like, messy.
It's just, you don't need to see it. And that's how I feel.
Well, just brings me to the point, or the question: do you believe in giving someone a second chance or a third chance? Right, as far as a relationship goes, they break up, and then, like, you know what? Maybe I'll give it another chance. Maybe I'll give it another opportunity. How often do you see that actually work out?
How often do I see it work out? Unfortunately, nearly never.
Wow.
Not never, but it was very rare. But I don't think, though, that it should be off the table. Like, if you break up and then, like, very shortly later, they're asking to come back, nothing has changed.
Right,
but if someone really, like, you broke up, they did the work. Like, maybe they went to therapy.
You have to do the work.
Yeah. And they, you know, learned some things
and
processed
the work
some things.
To do the work, not just to say you did the work.
Right. Like, you actually showed up to therapy and were honest. Yeah. Like, this is how I was in my last relationship. I don't want to be like this ever again.
Yeah.
And you really, you know, you really did some inner work. And of course, there was nothing, like, maybe terrible happening in the relationship, like abuse or whatever.
Right.
Like, why not?
Right.
Give it another try.
Yeah.
But if you have, like, evidence that, like, I really worked on myself and there was some time in between,
you need to see it.
But nobody makes any change in a like a short, even a couple months is not enough time.
Right.
Yeah, no.
It's not enough.
Okay, I want to get into the unhinged advice column real quick because I have a good one.
Oh.
Okay, so a listener sent this in. I'll read it out and we'll give our advice.
Okay.
Okay. I need honest opinions. I'm 34. I've been with my boyfriend for 8 years. Eight. We live together and I want kids. And this man still hasn't proposed. When I bring it up, he says things like, let's not rush, or marriage is just a piece of paper. What should I do? I love him, but I really want a family and I feel like the dream might be slipping away. Will he ever propose?
That's a good one.
8 years is long.
8 years is long. And what, well, I guess we don't know because we can't ask any questions to this person.
I know.
But I feel like I have like a couple thoughts. Like one, if marriage was very important and that was talked about early on and it's 8 years later and it hasn't happened.
Something's
the odds are, it doesn't look like it's happening.
Okay.
But then I had another thought, like, I would just be curious to know more, like, why is the marriage so important? Like, sometimes we're just conditioned.
That's true.
To, you know, want marriage. That's what you're supposed to do. Right. But like, I wonder where that's
coming
from.
You're getting married. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But essentially, like, this person, hopefully she's listening, she's just going to have to really look inward and decide, like, can I be happy if it's just us the way we are now with no marriage? And if the answer is yes, then it's worth staying in. But if she really feels strongly about marriage, which is fine, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Do you give them an ultimatum?
You can. People don't usually respond well. Yeah. But I've given ultimatums, but they're like not ultimatums. Like, you make it about you.
Right.
Like, I can no longer date you.
Okay.
Because I value marriage and this is why I value marriage. And I know that you can't give me that. So I have to step away. Something like that.
Oh, that's good.
Instead of saying like,
that's good.
I want to get married. And like, if you don't propose to me, like by the end of summer, we're over.
Like, I'm
like,
out.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, so I feel like you can communicate that like, you're not going to be here forever. Yeah.
Well, I think it's all the way you communicate it too.
Yes.
Which I have a hard time with, but like the way you just said it made it so much
It's less nicer. It's less threatening. Because we all want to have, like, feel like we have control in life. So like, if you tell him like, you better propose to me like by the end of the summer, like, it feels like no, now I don't want to do
exactly
it. Did you tell her that?
No, I know, right? I'm like, yeah, say this before we get on. No,
but if you just know that she's not going to continue dating you because marriage is just a non-negotiable, then you can do with that what you want.
You can
make your own choice.
So let's get into some rapid fire listener questions. So we're going to go through some questions and we're going to say if it's a red flag or green flag.
Okay.
And just rapid fire, bring it out. So one is, they never want to post you on social media.
Red flag.
Yes, I agree. Steve?
Red flag. Yeah.
Okay. They still talk to an ex occasionally.
Most of the time, red flag.
Okay. Yeah.
There could be exceptions, but most of the time, red flag.
Yep. They need 24 hours to cool off after an argument.
Green flag.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's very healthy.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a coping skill.
I like to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very
healthy.
And I'm
like, where are you going?
You're like, I want to fix it now.
Yeah. I want to fix it. But like, now that we've been dating for 2 years, I understand he needs a couple hours.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
No, and that's really good.
It cools me off too, instead of just yelling at each other.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's actually
really
good.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That person has a coping skill.
Yeah. Look at that. Good job, Steve. The next one, they believe in splitting finances 50-50 all the time.
This is not, I feel like this is not black or white.
Yeah. I know.
I don't think it, I feel like I can't. It's so hard. I'm going to say green because I don't think there's anything terribly wrong with it. Although I know a lot of women would disagree with me.
Right.
I think it's personal preference.
Yeah. I think it depends on your relationship,
too. Like, it's okay if you want the man to be the provider, but it's also okay if you contribute. Yeah. Like,
no, definitely.
I feel like I want the guy to pay for dates, but
exactly,
like,
right?
I don't know. Like, I feel like I want to contribute to the household.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Like,
no,
why not?
Definitely.
That doesn't bother me.
Yeah. And sometimes I feel like when a guy pays, it puts you in your like feminine energy sometimes.
Yes.
And I like that.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
So it doesn't always have to be 50-50.
Yeah. No, I don't think it always has to.
No.
It's a tough one.
I want to ask one more question and then we'll wrap up because we have 5 minutes left.
Okay.
But this one, actually, a couple listeners had said, so how do you approach partners who haven't had sex in a while? And what is your advice for those who haven't?
That's a really good question.
It's like stuck in the rut.
Yeah. So these are couples that haven't had sex but want to start having sex again.
Yeah. Or like they just hit that, like maybe they've been dating for a long time and it's just a stale mark. Like what's your advice?
Yeah. So if I was their couples counselor, I would want to explore like where things started to change.
Oh, okay.
Like when, how long ago, what was going on in life, you know, figure that out. I would want to hear like individually, like where they're at emotionally, like with themselves, with their life, like what's going on for them. And like, I would definitely want to help them have, like put things in place individually for them to work on, like to get, you know, happier or whatever it is, like that their individual issues are, work on that while helping them like slowly bring intimacy back in. It's hard if you've not had sex in a while, you can't just say like, well, let's try it tonight.
Let's do it tonight.
It's going to be really awkward. A lot of people aren't going to be able to do it. So that's like too much. I like to help couples date each other again.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Love that.
And people really initially look at that as like such a setback. Like, oh my God,
no,
like
but
how,
I think that's great.
Like, did we get here? But I like look at it.
That's exciting.
It's the fun part. Like, you do have to learn like what each other like sexually again.
Right.
But that's kind of the fun part. Of
exactly.
Yeah.
And like, just starting to date each other again and making it, you know, small.
Yeah. Tangible. No, and I like how you said it's not always like a relationship thing. You have to look at like separately what's going on in your life.
100%.
Yeah.
Because that impacts like the desire for sex, even the kind of sex that somebody wants to have.
Yeah. Like if I'm stressed out and had a long day, I'm like, all right, I'm good.
Right. Like, you know, like, for women mostly, like if we're emotionally not happy, we don't really have much of a desire.
No, it's
men too.
Yeah.
Or like maybe they want to have a different kind of sex.
Exactly.
That's not, you know what I mean? So.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
That's it for the questions. Do you have any more?
I have so many more, but
I know I do.
You're gonna have to come back. Yeah, you're gonna have to come back.
You have to come back. No, thank you so much for coming.
So
I just want to, because your website is awesome, guys.
Thank you.
If you want to look her up, it's BeKindToYourMindCounselingNJ.com, and she also has a podcast called Let's Go Girls. Mm-hmm. I love that, and it's on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
And I'm just going to give you her Instagram as well. It's at Be Kind Consulting NJ, right?
Be Kind to Your Mind Counseling NJ. Just like my website.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I messed that up. Let me say that again. You can edit that out.
I'm sure it'll be in the show notes.
All right. Give me your Instagram,
Be Kind to Your Mind Counseling NJ. Just just my website.
Same thing. Great. Yep. And any other last words you want to give out? Any advice?
No, just thank you guys. Listen to what I said. And if you're looking for a therapist and you're in New Jersey, reach out to me.
Yes.
Shoot me an email.
And fix yourself first.
Are you just New Jersey?
So if you want to work with me for therapy, you have to be in New Jersey because it's a licensing issue. But if you want me to be your coach, you can be anywhere.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. I have like so many more questions.
Yeah, I know.
She'll have to come back. Yes, please.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much.
Thanks for coming.
It was a lot of fun.
You're so welcome.
I had fun. Thanks for watching. Please like and subscribe to us on YouTube or listen to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And we'll see you next month. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.